It's time for our services to begin. Still have a number coming in. First off, this morning, we'd like to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. We want you to know how much we appreciate you coming to be with us and to worship with us this morning. What a beautiful day we have to come to worship the Lord. If you've not picked up a bulletin, we ask that you do so. That's a great place for you to begin your prayer list. On the inside is a list of all those who need our prayers. We have a lot of people in our congregation who are sick, those who have gone through some terrible diseases and need our prayers, those who have cancer, those who have lost loved ones, we need to remember those. Ken Reagan is here in spirit with us. He's on a little monitor back here where he can see us on Skype. And so for that, we're very thankful. Before we begin our services, I want to read from Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns it? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and the blessings which you've given to us. We're thankful, Father, that we can come to you knowing that you are the great I am and you're the one who created all things. And you have placed all the stars and the moons and the sun in its right place. We're thankful, Father, that you've given us the breath of life this morning. And we know, Father, that you love us because you gave your only son for us. We're so thankful, Father, that we have that hope because Christ is risen from the dead. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to be with us through this service. We pray that the things that we do and say and this morning, the songs will rise to thee as a sweet-smelling savor. We pray now, Father, that you'll continue to be with us. These things we pray through your Son's holy and blessed name. Amen.
All sing very loudly and very emotionally this song. No song. The slender of the king.
Darkness rise to mine.
sing "My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory," and after this song, we'll have our worship prayer this morning. I have seen you walk down the dusty road. I have watched you stumble from my heavy load. In my heart I sorrow, but I always do the holy
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together as a congregation filled with family, friends, visitors, loved ones. Lord, as we gather here today, we lift you up. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We're thankful for your son's death on the cross. And as we go into this week, we want to be mindful to give thanks for that opportunity Lord, we're as a nation this week, we take a moment to give thanks, and we should thank you every day for sending your son to die on the cross for us, sinners as us. We should be thankful every moment. And as we come here, we hope our songs that we sing are pleasing to your ears, Lord. We have a few of our congregation that are going through some times. We ask you to be with Brother Joel Sloan as he has an upcoming procedure. We ask you to be with him and his family. We ask that the procedure be much successful, Lord. We ask you to be with those of our number that have had surgeries, Ken Reagan, Marie Collins, and others. We ask you for continued healing and good recovery, Lord. We ask you to be with our number that are not here today due to sickness. We ask you to hold your healing hand upon them, Lord, and touch them and be with them. Be with those that are caring for them. As we continue this service, Lord, once again, we ask you for forgiveness of our sins when we fall short. Be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. morning, church. Elizabeth Cecilia Clephane was born in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1830. Her parents died when she was young, and she died at the age of 39, having lived most of her life with significant illness. Devout in her faith, she was always concerned about others. Elizabeth ministered to the downtrodden in her village of Melrose, which is where she spent most of her life. She was bright, clever, and cheerful as a young woman. In fact, the people of that village gave her a nickname. They called her Sunbeam. And yet, Clephane, I think, had a much different opinion of herself. She wrote these words: "I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross." Undoubtedly, you recognize the words that we've just sung from the hymn Beneath the Cross of Jesus. It's actually from a poem that she wrote in 1868, just 1 year prior to her death. And in the fourth stanza of her poem, as it was arranged, she said, "And from my stricken heart with tears, to wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness." She understood that she wasn't worthy of the love and the sacrifice of her Lord. And this morning, as we have sung those words, I hope we realize neither are we. I think some come to the foot of the cross with a sense of unworthiness. And yet, others, I think, stand at the foot of the cross with little respect or knowledge of what it actually means. I think back to the Roman soldiers who literally stood in the shadow of the cross. And do you remember what they were doing? The Gospel of John in chapter 19 gives us a vivid detail. And it says the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture: "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Grown men gambling for Jesus' clothes as he looked down on them, dying for them. It's clear to me that they neither appreciated or understood the meaning and the power of the cross. And I say all that to say that I think we too can have disregard for what it means to gather around this table in the shadow of the cross. And I think it's for that reason that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ and eat and drink judgment on themselves." So this morning, as we together gather around this table and in the shadow of the cross, as it were, let's remember that we're nothing and Christ is everything. Let's remember that we're not here because of anything we've done or because who we are, but because of what he's done and who he is. And let's remember our unworthiness. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain
to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And amen. Let's think on these things as we share the body and the blood of our Lord. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we come humbly before thee, recognizing how small we are and how great you are, and reflecting on our unworthiness. And yet it was for a great love that our Creator died for his creation. We remember his great suffering and his pain and what it took to keep him on that cross. And as we break his body this morning, Heavenly Father, may we do so in a manner well-pleasing in your sight. And we ask that you would bless us as we do it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Father, as we humbly bow before your throne, we are thankful for your Son. In our mind, Father, we are at the foot of the cross, and we can see him in his innocence, in his goodness. We can see his wounds opened and the blood and the water flowing from him. And we pray, Father, you would bless this cup, which represents that blood, which represents all that was good that you gave from heaven to cover our sin. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
That being the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, we take this time to recognize another blessing and command. This is a time that the elders have set forth for those who are members here to give towards the support of the church here, the work we do in spreading the gospel, and for benevolence. If you're visiting with us, we thank you for your presence here. Please put your visitor's card in the plate as it passes by. And David will offer a prayer for the giving.
Please bow with me. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you ever so grateful for the many gifts we have received from you, please accept this offering from the congregation as we freely give back a portion of that with which we have been so richly blessed. Amen.
Next song is Christ Lives in Me. Oh, so I've been crucified with Christ, my Lord.
Through sin, I rise.
this will only be on the slides. We'll sing the World's Bible. So, y'all are going to have to sing out. My voice is gone. It's thinking about getting older, I guess your voice just dries up. Oh, so Christ has no hands but
Matthew's chapter 25, verses 37 through 41. Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through 41. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I have read Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through 41.
I put one too many verses on that text, and that was my fault. I know you wonder why he didn't finish the... Well, I was calling to find out if Kevin could lead the song, He Has No Hands But Our Hands. And my wife, I heard her pipe up from her little computer station in the kitchen, saying, I just love you. I just like it that you can grow and change your mind. And I thought, what? And she knows I've always had a hard time singing that song, because I know how little I get done, and I know how little people get done that I know. And I think Lord has to use other hands than my hands, than our hands. Jars down in Monroe They're translating Bibles into all languages of native peoples around. And God is using so many hands. It's not my hands and our hands. But yet, we've been talking a lot about love and mercy and loving your neighbor. And I just realized as I've seen the needs that we've had in the past year, how does God accomplish these things? He accomplishes it with our hands. There's been times when God has fed the hungry with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. There's been times when manna has come from heaven. There's been times when miracles have happened to show that God is God and that Jesus is the Son of God and that the Word is truly the Word of God. But I'll tell you how God teaches and how God expects his teaching to be carried out among men. It's with our hands. And that has been more prevalent to me and more seen by me of recent than before. I think I understand it more, and I think I can sing this song now, because that's who God expects his will to be carried out with. That's the mercy he wants to see. That's the love he wants to be shown. That's the good things that are to happen. It's with our hands. And sometimes I think we might think, well, we prayed about it. Praying about it doesn't get it done. Praying about it and doing it gets it done. And that's what happens. And there's some things we can't do, and we should keep praying about it. But what we can do, we ought to take our hands and we ought to use our hands in doing the things that God wants us to do. I got it on now. We studied last week about loving your neighbors yourselves, and we said that that was the royal law now. That's what's been repeated. The love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is in the Gospels, and then the second one is likened to it, love your neighbors yourself. And that's where God sees whether we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. When he sees truly, does his love, his agape love that touches our hearts and comes into our lives, is it truly of God? Because it is acting as God would act. It is doing what we've seen his son do. It is carrying out the things that God wants done. We looked at the Good Samaritan. You know, there was a story right after the what are the greatest two commands? And it was love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. But the question was asked to try to justify himself, try to put a stumbling block to Jesus, but who is my neighbor? And this is one who would knew the law. And the Lord says, you know, there was a man that was going down from Jerusalem, Jericho, and he was taken among robbers, and he was beaten and left as dead. And here comes a priest, and here comes a Levite. They had to hurry along, doesn't say this part. They had to hurry, though, and get to praying about all these hurt, sick people in the world. And they heard, you know, and I imagine they might have got there and had some good stories to tell about it. Well, I've seen people all over this community. I saw a tragedy today. And that tragedy was I saw a man beaten and left for dead. And we got to do something about that. Brother John, be sure you pray about that in that closing prayer today. You know, don't forget that. And they probably might have really had some stirring lessons at the synagogue or the temple. But he says there was a Samaritan that came along, one that the wounded man would not want to be around him, and the one that the Levite and the priest would not want to be around because they were enemies. And he stopped and he helped him and he did what he could do for him. And he said, which one of these three proved to be a neighbor? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus just said, go and do the same. That is what the Bible says. Learn this from what the Lord has said and go and do it. I think you ought to pray about it, but I think you better go and do it. How many times have I, though I still feel I'm real young, my birth certificate says that I don't have as much time left as I used to have. But I feel like I got more to do than I ever have in my whole life. I feel like it's more urgent than ever before. Because once now I understand that teaching it, praying about it, that's not what gets it done. It's when you go and do it. That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what Larry's class has been talking about. We got together and planned our lessons today. No, we didn't. I thought about it even as Adam was preaching last Sunday night about mercy and love and what all this is that we've received, and it's to do something to make us different. It's to make us go and do things we would not do if we had not been with Jesus. But we have been with him. Matthew 25, 31 to 40. See, I told you I put one verse too many in the bulletin. Why are we entering in, Lord? Because you went and did something. Oh, it's not because, oh, you were there with the priest and Levite and you understood the right doctrine. Not that we don't need to know the truth, and the truth will make us free, and it's Christ and what he's brought us. It wasn't that you didn't enter into discussion and have committees on things that need to be done in this world. It was I was hungry, and you fed me. I was sick, and you came to see me. There were needs, and you filled them. In closing, last Sunday, I talked about there are a lot of people doing those things. But friends, there's a lot to be done. And I follow behind people that are doing things, and some are doing it here, and some are doing it here, and some are doing it here. And sometimes the person doing it here think nobody else is doing anything, but they're doing something over here that this person's not doing. Don't get discouraged. I just like to look back and see it all and talk about it. No, I want to do two. But unless that's what we see in our religion is in vain. We're no more than the priest and the Levite who walks and sees the needs, surely says and prays about it, but doesn't do something about it. I've shared this story with you before, but I'm going to share it again. Some of you, you know, I say you, there's a lot of people who wouldn't have been here. I love the story about LaGuardia, the mayor of New York City. He was the mayor of New York City when it was the Depression times. During World War II, a big, important time in New York City. And that's why I guess you got LaGuardia Airport if you go to New York City. He was a short man. He was only 5'4". They called him the little flower because he had a carnation in his lapel. And he was quite a character. He would go out with the police riding. He would get on fire trucks and ride. He would take an entire orphanage to a ball game. When the newspaper struck, he would get on the radio on Sunday and read the funnies so the kids could hear the funnies that was supposed to be in the newspaper. Story that happened was in 1935, he went to the night court, cold, bitter night, and he could do this. The little flower could do this. It was in the poorest ward of the city, and he put himself, dismissed the judge, and he sat up on the judge's seat that day, that night. Within a few minutes, a little woman came. I hope this story is true. I've read it in many different places. And She had stolen some bread, and she was brought in for stealing bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. The shopkeeper was there, and he spoke up and said, "She stole bread, and you can't just drop this, because this is a bad neighborhood. It's a hard neighborhood. These are hard times. And if you drop these charges, it might just lead to other people coming and stealing bread, because now you can go steal bread, and stealing bread is wrong. She needs to be punished so all will know that law prevails." LaGuardia sighed, and he says, "There are no exceptions. You must be punished." The law made no exception, $10 or 10 days in jail. But as he pronounced that, he reached in his pocket and he took his hat and he put $10 in the hat. And then he told the bailiff to go around, and he was fining everyone in that courtroom 50 cents. Because they were living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. He collected all that money, and it was $47.50. $0.50, even the bread maker, the store clerk, had to pay. She was red-faced and crying. Says that the store owner was crying. There were criminals and other people waiting. But when it was all over and LaGuardia stepped down, everyone in the courtroom rose and applauded of what had been done. She may have had reason, but stealing is stealing. And because of the reason, punishment was due. But rather than punishing this woman, he paid the fine. And then he further helped with this collection of 50 cents. She was not just spared punishment. Her debt was paid, and she was blessed. There's a lot of stories you can go with that. And I'll probably go next week with about grace and talking about that's mercy and grace and punishment. And that's what we see in the cross. That's what we understand in the cross. But when we talk about mercy, there are many verses on mercy. Having mercy on others, whether it be they're lost, whether it be they're hungry, whether it be sick, the Lord is expecting us to look and be compassionate because we have received compassion. There are a lot of passages with mercy in it in the Old Testament. Some of those was even, for instance, the Babylonians were condemned by God. God allowed the Babylonians to punish his people. But the Babylonian punished his people without mercy. And God punished the Babylonians. He expects nations to have mercy. And I'm thankful that I live in a nation that shows mercy toward those that need help. In the New Testament, most of the mercy passages of those 54 verses, it's about the mercy we've received. How much mercy have we received? Sometimes when we get down, we think, you know, everybody has, I've, of all men, have the hardest road to home. Those people who hadn't hoed cotton might not know what that means. But a hard road to hoe was a hard road to hoe when you was in chopping cotton. And I've chopped it before. But I've received a lot of mercy. You know, a lot of us know about Adam Smeltzer passing away this last Sunday, last Sunday afternoon. He's a young man, 25 years old. Dale Smeltzer, who I know well, grandson, Scott Smeltzer's son that I know, Scott and Bertina well. Glad to see you, Marie. Y'all ought to remember Bertina from Birmingham. He went out Sunday after church and decided to jump in the river and take a swim. And he was taken away, and they only found his body Friday. And I've read a lot of things that his dad has written, and it just, all he talks about is all the blessings that he's had in having that son, and that God has saved him. I know his grief is great, but I thought as Scott Smeltzer was writing those things about his son, and many people have written a lot of things. I saw something Clay Calvert wrote concerning he was going out searching and hunting. There's even an interesting story about the body finally being found. It was found by a homeless person near the bridge, riding a bicycle over the bridge and looking down and seeing pretty well where he was. They had searched for miles, for days. That homeless person was a man that knew Scott from a coffee shop. Scott bought him coffee sometime in that coffee. Adam bought him coffee sometime in that coffee shop. And that homeless person is the one who spotted him. And that story was from his dad. And there's stories like that. But there were so many things he realized how much mercy he's received. All of us, when we think about all the things that's happened to us, and some of you have had tragedies upon tragedies, all of us have had some tragedy in our lives if we have much age to us. When I think that that man could sit and count his many blessings, how many blessings should I count that I've been? How merciful has my life been? What did Anthony say today? What did you say? One, two people out of something have $10 a day or something? 80% of the world has only $10 a day to live on. Why wasn't Tommy Porch born in Philippines? Or you name the place. Folks, it has nothing to do with Tommy Porch. Somebody says, boy, you went to college, you did all this, that. How could I not do something? And I'm not saying anything about my education. It's not that great of an education, because evidently since I graduated from Auburn, most of you tell me that. But anyway, just the opportunities are so vast. I lost a father young in life. But I've had every opportunity of life. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Many of the passages talk about, I've received mercy, therefore I'll give mercy. Blessed are the merciful. The Beatitudes, what does it say? They shall receive mercy. Matthew 18 and verse 33, should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? You know, the man who's been forgiven a great debt would not forgive a little debt. He wouldn't be merciful. Romans 12 and verse 8, or he who exhorts with exhortation, these are gifts one might have, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Man, that's a great thing to be able to show mercy. I'm not going to straighten out this world. I'm not going to snatch somebody straight. I'm just hoping God will make me straight before I get there. James 2 and verse 13, for judgment will be merciless on those who have shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Is that not what Matthew 25 is trying to share with us? That I was hungry and you fed me, therefore I say enter into the... Those who are people of judgment and not mercy will have no mercy. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Grace and peace. Boy, that's swirling around in my mind for next Sunday morning. You know why? Because it's in all the epistles. They just boom together. Mercy, grace, peace, love. It just is jumbled around in every church introduction, no matter what the circumstances are. Gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Boy, look at that. Full of it. Not half empty, not a few. Full of mercy. But what is and? And is a coordinating conjunction. It joins something together. Mercy that calls you to do something. It's full of mercy and good fruits. What a wonderful time that God has given us. Micah 6 and verse 8 says, I told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Do the right thing. Love mercy. Not just be merciful, but love mercy. We can't talk much about it, but it'd be a wonderful thing to talk about, wouldn't it? Children, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came down, floods came up. The rains came down. Wiki wants me to get into the whole action here. But the wise man's house firm. You know what the application of that is? Hear my words and act upon them, and you'll be a wise man. Hear my words and do what it says. And you will be a wise person. Don't forget that. Love in deed and truth. Let us show truth by our action. This passage in 1 John 3, if you want to turn to it, in verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I might not be past laying down my life for my wife yet and my children. I think some people might think that they're doing good because they hadn't killed another brother. They tried to slay them every other way they can. They've written about them, talked about them, and stabbed them. That's another time. But whosoever has this world's goods, Larry talked about that class this morning, and sees his brother in needs and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love not with word. Don't let us go down to the temple and say, now, brethren, I want to tell you something. I know there's bad things going on in this world. I saw a man left for half dead. No, that's not what it says. It says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but let us love with deed. That's what Jesus did. All Theophilus that I've told you about Christ, that he began to do and teach. How did Jesus touch people around him? Do you remember? Did he do anything for them? That's the message of the Savior. What he did and what he taught. Now that ought to be our message. But our message ought to be, sometimes, it is so much easier for me to have a philosophical discussion with you about what to teach. But it can never be isolated. It's all that he began to do and teach. Who is fed without somebody feeding them? Hey, by the way, I started to put some pictures up. Hey, don't think Adam's so smart. His wife puts up all those pictures. Anyway.
Amen.
But I had a good picture. I saw a ship with a cross, a white ship with a cross, two crosses on it, red cross. I thought, what is that ship? It's a U.S. Navy ship that's named Mercy. And it's in the harbor in the Philippines. Because thousands of people have died. Whew, that made me glad I'm American. I don't know how that makes you feel. But that did me good seeing those pictures. But I hope you see those pictures. I hope we helped them with you. We helped them some doing that. Isn't that wonderful? Who is clothed without someone clothing them? Who is visited without somebody going to visit? I'm the one. You know, we've seen the one, I'm the one who crucified him. Now he says, I'm the one to go. And the last, and I know you're glad it's the last, but I tell you, I hadn't been up here long, other than my allotted time. Who's going to go preach the gospel if we don't do it? We can talk about it. We can make plans for it, but Mike and I were talking about this Wednesday. Mike out of town now. I always can talk. When I talk about Mike, he's out of town. I think he gets word. But anyway, we were talking about it. What's wrong with us? Why sometimes do we have to hunt and find? We can't find him. I tell you, Christ is supposed to be so full of us. We're supposed to be so full of him that it overflows about talking about what the Lord has done for us, and somebody will want to talk about it. There ought to be nobody in the world out praising us about praising Jesus and what we have with him. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul says this, and brethren, I hope we more and more are able to do things to spread the gospel into all the world. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to the whole world. I know that was the apostles. But teach them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. In Romans 10 and verse 14, how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach these glad tidings. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah said, who has believed our report? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to, in our lives, be sharing the gospel. And as a church, we need to be helping spread the gospel into the whole world. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we need to do in every way we can. It might take us into places we might not want to be. It took Jesus into some strange places, and religious people didn't even like what he is doing. This passage in Matthew 9, this is the last one I'm going to turn to. In verse 9 it says, "And Jesus passed from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office. He said, 'Follow me,' and he rose and followed him. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw them and said, 'Why is your teacher eating with tax gatherers and sinners?' He said, 'Because they need to hear what I have to say. I can make them well.' You say you don't need being made well, so you don't need a doctor. I don't need to go to you. I need to go to people who need to be made well." Friends, we need to go to people who need to be made well. Sometimes we can't. I wish I could make Joel well. I hope Wednesday's thing does something to help Joel be better, make some wellness. All I can do is pray and let the doctors take care of that, because Joel doesn't want me sticking a needle in him. But we can make people well in this world. And you know, many of you have fed Joel and Susan, have visited Joel and Susan, have helped them in so many ways, and that's what Christianity is. And it's not, what if Joel and Susan were cranky people? Susan said, "Well, Joel is some days." No, they're not cranky people. We show everybody the love of Jesus. We go and do it. Somebody says, "Well, Tommy, you got some doing to get doing." And I say, "Amen." You preach to yourself today, amen. That's what it is to show mercy. And we can hide it and feel comfortable like the Levi and the priest. And we can have meetings and talk about it. Or we can go and do it. And who do you think God is going to be most pleased with? That's an easy answer, isn't it? That's an easy answer. If you're not a Christian, what you need is go up there and be baptized for the remission of your sins, because you believe in Jesus and you repented of your sins. That's exactly what you need to do right now. You've been walking like the Pharisee and the Levite in life, and you need to get up and do more. Let's all join together and let it be a new day in mercy. A new day of mercy as we walk with the Lord. If we can help you in any way, come now as together we stand and sing.
My Jesus, as thou wilt, oh, may thy will be mine. Into thy hand of love I would my all resign. Come, judge me as thy own.
join with my announcement base here. I sent out an email, but wanted to know that Patty Blake and father passed away. And of course, that's Cheryl's grandfather. And they don't know anything about the funeral or their travel plans at this time. But Mr. Reed's passed away.
Thank you, Tommy. A few announcements before we're dismissed. One of our visitors, welcome again. Please stick around, give us an opportunity to get to know you after church. Ask any questions you might have, and you're always welcome to join us here at our meeting times. Teens have a group meeting today at Les Myers Park. That is at Lawndale and Branch View. There are maps back on the near the mailbox if you need one. We're going to have it inside the building, so you will not have to bundle up as much. Very cold out there today. Quincy asked that I mention that Anissa, just pray for her spiritual strength, just for the Hancock family in particular. So we close with our closing prayer.
Let us go to the Father in prayer. Dear Lord, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to us at this time giving thanks for letting us be able to wake up this morning to see another one in glorious days. We thank you for bringing us all here today to hear a portion of your daily word. We ask that you be with us as we are about to prepare to leave your house to go our separate ways, that we travel over the highways and byways without any hurt, harm, and danger, and bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.